Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
How's everybody doing? It's me, Mr. FSP. Glad to have you here on the show. I'm here with my main man, the ATM, JT ATM Taylor. What's going on, JT?
Not much, man. You've been incognito, been antisocial. That's okay.
I have not been antisocial. I've just been somewhat busy, man. Somewhat busy. Doing what I got to do. I mean, you know, When you're successful at fantasy football, everybody wants to knock on your door and they want to, you know, bug you, you know, try to make trades with you, you know, try to get Run DMC from you. I'm just saying.
Well, I'm saying you Skyped me about one of our members of one of our fantasy leagues said that he was going to quit. Well, like I said in that response, he's going to have to find you're going to have to find a new member if he's actually going to quit. Hold true to what he said because he's going down this week.
Well,
he is definitely going down.
Let me set the story for folks. Mm-hmm. Right, ladies and gentlemen, in one of the fantasy football leagues we are in that I run, I got a buddy. His name is Wayne, along with Jerry here, who are playing each other this week. Well, Wayne says that there's no way for him to lose. If he loses, he's just going to quit fantasy football. And it's based upon Jerry's squad. He has a bunch of reserves starting. I mean, I'm in a similar situation in a couple of leagues as he is, whereas I have several reserves on my starting lineup because all my starters, pretty much all my big starters, are taking week five off. And so I'm not looking at having a good week fantasy-wise this week. But Jerry, in his infinite wisdom, tell him that roster that you're starting this week.
Joe Flacco, Julio Jones, Ronnie Hillman, Robert Turbin, Greg Olsen, Andre Johnson, and let me see who I have. Blair Walsh, who's a very good kicker for Minnesota, who's got a good matchup. I had the St. Louis D, which gave me 44, gave me a lot of points this past week, completely mauling Arizona. And then I have the defensive players. I'm not going to name them, but you get the gist of what my overall roster is.
His running backs are garbage. That's the bottom line. And three running backs.
No, they're not.
Okay. Well, tell the folks who you're going against.
I'm going against. This is who I'm going against, and it's not as overwhelming as you think, because Christian Ponder is going to. I'm going against Christian Ponder. He has the quarterback, DeSean Jackson, who's shaky against Pittsburgh. His only real good running back that he has is Trent Richardson. Jonathan Stewart is shaky against the Seattle tough defense. Dennis Pita and Steve Smith, who's been shaky. So he thinks he's going to – there's no way he can lose. This is going to be closer than he thinks because the fact is he doesn't have an overwhelming squad compared to mine. So I don't know where he thinks he – there's no way he can lose this because if you look at his lineup – from what I'm telling you, compared to what he has, and he has a Baltimore defense, and he's got a halfway decent kicker in Shane Graham. But what he has and what I has is not that far off. he's got an advantage somewhat on the running backs. But Trent Richardson is going against the Giants. Jonathan Stewart's going against Seattle. Two good defenses. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
Because I'm going up against Carolina, which is not that good a defense, even though it's Robert Turbin. Robert Turbin does get catches and carries in Seattle, even though Marshawn Lynch is the overall majority of the guy who gets the work there. And Ronnie Hillman does spell Wilkes McGahee in a Peyton Manning offense against New England. So even though my running backs are shaky, they have a better situation against weaker defenses than his running backs do. So that's going to make the difference.
Julio's got a bad hand.
He's 100% now. Trust me. He's 100%. He had some issues for the last two games. He's good to go.
Let me do a few things. Let me do a few things. Since you're claiming you're going to win, we'll see. Maybe Wayne will call in and you guys can debate online, even though that's not Wayne's style. I expect him to do it. He wouldn't do it. On today's show, we're going to talk about the high school kid in South Carolina that actually died after making a tackle on the field. They say he died in the hospital. Of course, no one wants to say if he died on the on the sideline, but that's where he collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about the Cards beating the Braves in a controversial manner. If you're following Major League Baseball, the new playoff system allows a one playoff play-in, and that happened between the Braves and the defending Major League Baseball champions, the St. Louis Cardinals, and the Cardinals won on a controversial play. We'll hear the play-by-play of that. Also, is it time to trade some of your NFL players in fantasy football? Is it that time? Is it trade? Is it cut big time? Fantasy football.
I have a trade since you brought that up. I have a trade that I'm going to pose that I just made yesterday or early the wee hours of this morning, and I'll see what your opinion of it is. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, it wasn't for me, so you know.
I'm just going to give your assessment on it. That's all.
Also, ESPN coworkers passing personal issues with each other. Over the internet and through the Washington Post, Mike Wilbon, Graham Weinstein, and the Washington Post sports columnist—they are literally battling each other over some comments Michael Wilbon made. And Black brought it to my attention as in reference to Washington D.C. not being a very good sports city. The fans, that is.
Okay.
We're going to talk about that, and I have my cousin on the line. So we're going to kick off the show with that. Michael, did you read or hear anything about what I just brought up?
They've been talking about that for like forever. They've been saying that about the Washington area sport as long as I can remember. But it is absolutely untrue. Absolutely. You got a wealth of. I mean, the only thing that I don't like the area does not really reflect the talent of basketball here. You know, there are some extremely exceptional basketball players that come from this area. You know, on a regular basis. However, the level of play does not match up. You know what I mean? On a professional level. As far as college on basketball, you know, we've always had teams that are competitive in the NCAA. So I totally disagree. You know, the Redskins pretty much run this town. You know, we're having an upsurge with the Nationals, but it's going to be there's some recall with Robert Griffin through with the Redskins. So,
well, Michael, it's like this. Mike Wilbon wrote an article And, well, he was quoted in ESPN the magazine, because ESPN the magazine has, they're doing features on cities and their sports franchise. And Wilbon was quoted in the magazine as saying that Washington, D.C. is a terrible place sports-wise for the fan base. He's lived in D.C. or he's worked in D.C. for 30-some-odd years, but he's still a Chicagoan. And the issue is Graham Weinstein, former Washington, D.C., well, current D.C. native, but works for ESPN in Bristol, on ESPN, and another columnist for a sports blog, I think it's Steinberg or something like that, they got into it in reference to Wilbon's comment, saying that the city is never and has never been a quality city for its fan base because they don't show up. It's just bad. It's the worst. He said it's terrible, and it is the worst sports city in the country. Now, we're talking all sports.
Wilbon is not accepted here in D.C. We don't like him. We never did. And that sentiment that he's spewing out is typical of because of the transient area that D.C. is. You have a lot of people that come to Washington, D.C. and or migrate to Washington, D.C. for different things, you know, jobs, military, government. And in his case, you know, he established himself here for all those years. And, you know, we never really accepted him. So, you know, his point is, it, to me, it's pointless. It's pointless even to listen to him. It's pointless. I mean, because he's got this big Chicago thing, and, you know, I'm not hating on Chicago, but that's where he's from. You know, I get that. Back there. As a matter of fact, where did he write this article from? In Scottsdale? Really? Come on, man.
That's the thing that Bram Weinstein and the blog guy got on about. Now, they took this to the Post. They took it to Twitter. They took it to Facebook.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the comments that Wilbon said. Wow.
Yeah, and Black hit me to it because he posted something this morning. He says he lost a lot of respect for Mike Wilbon.
He got
now,
personal.
Yeah, and that's the issue. You know, but Bram Weinstein made it personal first by calling him a carpetbagger. So I think that was the first blow that you know, it sparked it. Now, these are all ESPN employees. All have something to do with Washington, D.C. in one way or the other. But I want to get deeper here because I agree with Mike Wilbon. I'm going to tell you why.
You
I
what?
I'm going to tell you why.
You're tripping. You've lost your mind.
I'm going to tell you why. And you can debate it. You can deny it. But truth is truth. I mean, the truth hurts. FedEx Field fills up with Dallas Cowboys fans, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, and all these other fans when the Redskins play. I don't know if you recall, like a year or so ago, Monday night game, Washington, Pittsburgh. It was a blackout when it's supposed to be burgundy out.
You know what? Really?
Bear with me. I'll let you talk. The Wizards can barely fill their stadium when they play someone like the Cavaliers. But let the Bulls come to town or let somebody else come to town, it's packed. The Nationals, this year, they struggled to fill their stadium until they started getting the recognition for being a possible division champion. D.C. is a fair-weather fan city. It is. Robert Griffin III brought, you know, a lot of energy and stuff to the Redskins. They're spotlighted on many different things now. You see that logo wherever you see Robert Griffin at, except in the commercials. But the truth is, I understand what Wilbon was saying, maybe he didn't express it the way he should have. Maybe it wasn't expressed in the best form, but being a Washingtonian, being in that city, I can see what he's saying. We don't support the team through thick and thin. The entire city. The entire city does not support any team unless it's Georgetown or maybe even Maryland.
You
year
done?
In, year out, through the ups and downs.
Oh boy.
Just let me know when you're done.
I'm gonna let Jerry get in. I got some pearls for you, buddy.
Yeah.
Let Jerry get his words in. Go
but
ahead,
before this family feud kicks off, I have to say this. I'm not familiar with Washington D.C. area. I really can't speak on it because I'm not familiar with the Washington D.C. area. I wasn't born and raised there. I don't really know anyone that can give me a good synopsis of it because I don't know anyone other than you guys that lives in the D.C. area to get a reference from to even find out what the real deal is. So I have to defer to the two gentlemen, which have to be family members, which happens to happens to be about to fuel a family feud, because I can see this coming, but I'm going to step back because I know Macau can't wait to unload on you, Mr. Gardner. So, Macau, it's on you.
First off, thank you, Jerry. I really appreciate that, sir. I really do. First off, if you paid attention to what I said, prior. Washington D.C. is a very transient area.
Yeah.
You know, you have a lot of folks that come in and out of this area for whatever particular reasons, and you have them either supporting either different teams or the different lifestyles or what have you. That's nothing new. It constantly happens. You have people that come down here; they're from New York, and they're always talking about New York, New York, New York, New York, blah 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 blah. Will Bonds from Chicago, the whole 30 years he was here, all he would talk about was Chicago, Chicago, Chicago. We didn't really fade him at all, for real. We were listening to, like, his commentary and stuff like that. But deep down inside, the real natives, the real Washingtonians, we weren't feeling what he was talking about, ever. Now, as to your point about the Redskins and the different games and the different ways that when different teams come to town and come into the stadium and fill it up, that has nothing to do with the Redskin fans. That has absolutely everything to do with Dan Snyder and how he has run that organization almost to the ground. So please spare me with that fair weather stuff. I still support the Redskins.
Mike, it's not you. I said the Washington area. You can have a person run a team into the ground and still fill it up with its fans because you are a fan. You support it. Just last week. Now, I know my boy Eric had work to do, but he was selling the Cowboy tickets for the last game of the season because he has something to do. You know what I mean? And it's like, okay, well, you're not selling directly to a Redskins fan, so of course, maybe a Cowboy fan gets it. And that's what happened, that we, as Redskins fans, or Wizards fans, or United fans, or whatever D.C. area team it might be, we don't feel that stadium or that area or that ballpark to capacity with our colors. It's always getting filled with other teams' colors and other team supporters. That's the fact. I mean, that's the point that he's trying to make. We're not talking about transient folks. We're not talking about people that come in to D.C. because they work for the Senate or for Congress or whatever. We're talking about people that are Redskin fans, that are National fans, that are Wizard fans, that don't show up to the games, period, that sell their tickets to the opposition. For whatever reason, there aren't Washingtonian-based fans. So when Michael Wilbon is bringing up this issue of, okay, well, you know, it's a terrible fan city, I don't agree it's a terrible fan city. I agree that there are people that are fair-weather fans. And I even said this, I think, last week or week before last, that when they got rid of Gary Clark and Marshall, what's his name, Marshall, can't remember his first name, but he was a linebacker, came from the Bears, Wilbur Marshall. When they got rid of those two, when free agency started, I was like, are you serious? You know, these are hearts of your franchise. So I stepped away for a year. But I still watch the games. But there are so many people that won't show up to these games until they see a winner. Once there's a bandwagoners. That's a better term for everybody to understand and listen to. I see you drop, Michael, when he came back. But they're bandwagoners, and they're folks that are always, hey, you know what, we can talk about the Skins. We can talk about them. Yeah, I like the Skins. I'm, you know, I ain't going to catch that game. You know, they playing, they're going to get crushed. You know, and then once they start winning, oh, yeah, my whole basement full of Redskin paraphernalia. Yeah. I mean, bandwagon.
Victor, you said one thing, you want to dig deeper, and then you sidestep the deepness that I brought to you. Again, you say that this is not about transient people. It is all about that. That is all that is here in D.C.
No.
Period. No. There is a lot of transient folks here. I'm here. You're not. I'm here. I'm telling you. There are a lot of transient folks here. There are a lot of folks from North Carolina, New York, California, Florida, all these different things. And these people go to the different games to support whatever teams they like. The fact of the matter is the Redskins have not been able to keep their fan base the way they have. It's because of the way the man has run the organization. It has nothing to do with the core of the fans.
So okay, get off the Redskins.
That's just ridiculous.
Go to the Wizards. Let's go to the Wizards.
How many years?
That's only 19,000.
First of all, wait a minute. Slow down, Hoss. How many years has that organization fielded some type of viable organization? How many years? They still haven't gotten it together. They have a man like Ted Leonis now trying to get a handle on it, but you also cannot negate the fact that Abe Pollin has been a staunch Washingtonian. He built that whole Wizards, Bullets, whatever you want, from the ground up. And the man revitalized the city with just a stroke of his pen and the cash of his money. So I won't disrespect him, but I will say this. He has not fielded anything other than what the last, when they had the whole mob with Gilbert Arenas and stuff like that. Then they had Michael Jordan come in there. Really? Come on, man. Really? When have they drafted well or drafted a player other than John Wall to build a franchise around? This is what happens. If you understand the psyche of a fan, everybody loves the winner, Victor. Period. Everyone. You know that. I mean, because 10 years ago, Wait a minute. Let me go back. 15 years ago, you probably couldn't find a Patriots fan. Now you got gangs and gangs of Patriot fans everywhere. Really? Come on, sir.
But the point of the article, or the point that he was trying to make, that I got from it, was that even those that aren't transient there are native Washingtonians, or they have strong ties or beliefs in the Washington sports franchise.
Why should we go when you're not fielding anything to show me any hope? We just asked for a little glimmer of hope, and we came out. We're coming out damn. These teams ain't even giving a glimmer of hope. Look at how the Capitals turned around. And if you want to go to baseball, Slim, baseball had not been in Washington for almost 60-some-odd years. Really?
Yeah.
You don't even have the kids. You don't even have kids out here playing baseball. The whole system of baseball being played by some of these teams in high school is a joke. Really? And you want to put this at our feet? Get out of here, man.
It's not about putting it at your feet. We're talking about the ability of the fan in general of an area to continually support the team. Again, like I said, I don't necessarily agree with
Why should we support any team that does not field anything of not even a glimmer of hope?
The reason why is because you are loyal. If you are loyal, you're loyal, regardless of whether they can build a Super Bowl team or they can just a team.
Victor, I'm not going to – let me tell you something. Times is rough. I'm not going to pay $200 to take my kids to see the Redskins when they're sitting up at 1-9. I can sit at home and watch the game there and do it there. He's saying more than that. Hold on, Slim. That man took and spit on Washington, D.C. totally. And it's nothing short of what he's been doing and what these transient folks that come from different areas do to Washington, D.C. Period. It's the same thing over and over again.
Listen.
I got a question. Jump in here for a minute.
Go ahead.
This is for Macau. Macau, since you are living it right now, you think the transient people that are in and out of the D.C. area, including Michael Wilbon, have a lack of respect for Washington, D.C.?
Period. Yes. They have no respect for D.C. They have no respect for it at all. And the more of the crowd of people, and let me tell you, there is a lot of them, a lot of them. The more you hear this chit-chatter going around, you think it's acceptable. And I don't accept that. I don't. Victor, where I work at, people are surprised. They are surprised to hear that I am a D.C. Washingtonian, a native. It's like I'm an enigma there.
I understand what you're saying because everybody's moved out. But that's a totally different story as far as, like, what Washington used to be and what it is today. We all know, the three of us can discuss it, not on this show, but we can discuss how and why that changed. But
Why can't we discuss on the show? Isn't this FSP?
Right, we've got other topics I want to get to, and that topic right there, that's a whole show on itself.
Okay.
And you know it is, Jerry. Hey. You know it is.
Just when it got good, huh, Jerry?
Exactly.
That needs to be on No Chaser next Friday. If you want to go that.
I meant to call on No Chaser yesterday, too, because I got some things to say to Mr. Mack.
You should have called. And I was hoping. I know either Black or yourself should have called last night because. And I know Mack's not here to defend himself, but. He was all over D.C. fans. He's got I asked him about it. I said, how come you seem like you got a hate for the D.C. fans? And
exactly.
He, And he's telling me, and I hate to put words in his mouth, but he's telling me that because the DC fans, in his opinion, are very arrogant. So
My theory isn't untrue. You see what I'm saying to you isn't untrue. He's not from here. He's not.
Right.
He's not from here, and he constantly sits up there and talks about either Redskin fans, DC, all that. That's all he does. I wouldn't even give it an ounce of thought, not one, because it's not valid.
Okay.
Well,
I'll
say this. I want to move on. Every area is going to do what they feel is best for their franchises. Out here, Oakland, San Fran area, the Dick and Ben, you're going to see a black hole. Be black. In San Fran, you're going to see that scarlet and gold or whatever color it is,
mm-hmm.
and gold, regardless of the franchise's ups and downs. So I understand what he's saying. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I understand. We're going to move on because we're going to talk about I want to get to the Nationals and a possible point that they have in the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, I don't know if you gentlemen saw or heard about this last night's baseball game between the Braves and the Cardinals. Anybody?
Yeah, I even saw the play. I watched it somewhere on the ESPN online or whatever. I watched the play. So I'll let you go through whatever you want to go through, and then I'll comment from there. Yeah.
All right, well, for those of you that did not hear it or see it, check this out. This could have caused the Atlanta Braves a chance at getting Chipper Jones a world ring again.
Oh, and the fans are losing it here at Turner Field.
Yeah, that's no good. Fans throwing stuff on the field. This is terrible. I mean, throwing all sorts of cups and bottles out onto the field.
What happened was this. The bottom of the eighth inning, the shortstop for the Atlanta Braves hit a blooper that is considered normally a base hit. However, one of the umpires called it an infield pop fly or out. He called it an infield out.
He put the infield fly rule in effect, which means that batter was automatically out.
Yes, which means the batter is automatically out. However, the ball plainly and clearly lands on the grass outside of the base pad area, not the inner part where the pitcher is.
Infield. Well, in the infield. It wasn't even close to the. It wasn't even close to the infield. It was like mid outfield, close to mid outfield.
Yeah, mid outfield.
Yeah.
So. Go ahead.
And the shortstop went out there to field the ball, and I guess there was a miscommunication between the shortstop and the left fielder, and the ball fell in between both of them. But since the ump had called the infield fly rule in effect, the batter was automatically out, which helped negate the rally that the Braves had because they had two guys on base.
Yes, and they could have scored. And the final score was, 6-3 or 5-3 or something like that?
Six to three.
6-3. And there's – people make mistakes. They do. But the Cardinals are the defending world champions, and they just might end up playing the Nationals next. So what I want to do right now is get a quote from Mike Matheny on that play and how it affect the Nationals.
Very good team, and we have the utmost respect for Davey Johnson and that club, and they've got all the components to a winning team, and it's just going to be an opportunity for our guys to go out and compete, and that's all they're looking for. You can take your predictions and underdogs and do whatever you want with them because it all happens out on the field, and our guys are prepared to go and compete.
Now, Mike Matheny is the manager of the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, not excuse me, the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, they haven't done too well versus the Cardinals this year. I think the series is slightly in favor of the Nationals, if I'm not mistaken. But my question is, based upon your knowledge of the situation, Jerry, the game's already played, but do you think that this was some act of I don't know, it was a blown call, or do we have some NBA referee thing going on here?
Oh, do you think it's a conspiracy theory? Is this what you're trying to come up with? Are you really grasping for straws with that? Because
I just want to know your thoughts.
I got some thoughts on this. Obviously, when I saw the play, there was no way that was an infield fly rule in effect. That was like mid outfield, close to mid outfield, and I don't know what the heck the umpire was thinking when he called it. Now, the other part of that is the fans and the reaction of the fans throwing bottles and cans and whatever else out on the field and endangering, especially Carlos Beltran, who plays, I think he plays in left field, and he had to run to the infield to get away from what all was going on because the fans was so displeased. Even though that happened, there is no guarantee that cost them the game. So that's a wild-ass excuse by the fans and whoever else is thinking that may cost them the game because there's no guarantee. They're losing by 3 runs. I forget what inning it is. It doesn't make a difference. They were losing by 3. Okay, they were losing by 3 runs. There's no guarantee that they would have been able to tie it, much less win the game. So to say that that cost them the game is very wrong, in my opinion. It may cost them the opportunity to score some more runs, but to win the game, that's a different story. They were up, like I said, for three runs. So they're just grasping at straws, trying to make one last-ditch effort, which was knocked down by Joe Torre almost instantaneously when they filed an appeal, which, you know, there's no way. I mean, to be realistic here. Be realistic. I'm talking about the Cardinals. Do you file an appeal? I'm going to mock what McHale usually says. Really? So you got to file an appeal because of that? Come on. Come on,
well,
man. I'm going to go Chris Carter, too. Come
right
on,
to
man.
The Braves have the right to do that. I mean,
yeah, they have the right to do that. I understand that. But come on, man. Come on.
Now, look. Okay. I'm not going to say it causing the game like you said, Jerry, but momentum is very, very tough to get and to maintain. Pitchers get frazzled. Players get frazzled. Quarterbacks get frazzled. Many, many things happen when that energy is there.
Yeah, but come on. Understand the situation here. You're playing the defending world champions who went through a lot to win the championship. They're war tested. They've been in high pressure situations before. This is not their first dance to the rodeo. So to think that they wouldn't been able to stop the bleeding by bringing in a pitcher or making some moves in order to prevent the Braves to even possibly tie in the game is far-fetched. So, like I said, they're the defending world champions. You don't think they're going to be able to stop or try to stop the bleeding. I understand the Braves are a good team. I understand the sentimental thing with Chipper Jones going out like this. But to file an appeal, come on. Come on. I mean, I understand that they're obligated. The organization is obligated to do it because the fact is, the circumstances that put him out of that last inning because of the really sorry-ass call that ump made. It's no conspiracy. The guy made a freaking mistake. I don't see how he did it, but he made a mistake calling an infield fly rule when it's not even in close to the infield, for one thing. And to file an appeal, and the fans' reaction was horrendous, absolutely horrendous. To be throwing garbage on the field, come on. Come on.
All right. Okay, Chris Hart. I'm not going to give you an opportunity to talk, Michael, because you upset me, but I still love you. Anyway.
Oh, boy.
I'm joking.
Do I have to play the Family Feud theme song again or what?
No. He said he didn't see it. So
You good. And he ain't got to. He could be upset. I'm upset with him, too.
I hear you.
Shut up. Acting like Michael Wilbon. You better get your head on straight, fool.
Shut up. All right, so before we do what we always love to, which is talk about football here, I want to talk. Well, I'm going to talk about football, but on a different level here. A young man died last night.
Okay.
Men die all the time. Women die all the time. But last night, on the side of a football field at a homecoming game in South Carolina, a young man passed away. And here's a brief little snippet of what happened.
An autopsy on a South Carolina high school football player to be conducted today. I'm ABC's Dave Schreiber. More on that story coming up.
Well, that wasn't a soundbite I thought it was going to be. But pretty much is what happened. A guy, 6'2", 320 pounds, makes a tackle during the homecoming. Stands up, a little woozy, walks to the sideline, or gets help going to the sideline, and collapses. EMS takes him to the hospital where he's later pronounced dead. The principal says that the game has been suspended and everybody's leaving, going home crying. We don't know the exact issue at this point. The report will come out about it if it hasn't already, but this is commonplace where if you tackle wrong or you hit your head wrong or whatever the case may be, where you have the adrenaline rush comes down and then your body reacts to the impact. You've seen people with brain damage, paralyzed, all types of things happen to folks like this. I just wanted to get your thoughts on another event like this happening. Kids 6'2", 320 to begin with. Is that a problem, you know, in high school? And then how we can speculate on what might be the issue. Go ahead, Jerry, and then Mike.
Well, it's always a tragedy at whatever, what level someone passes away on a football field or because of some football-related injury. Football is a high-impact sport. So when you play the game, there's always a possibility of something like this happening because when you have a collision, especially if it's from a runner coming at you with that force, and then you have a person like 6'3", 320 trying to bring that runner down, you can imagine the two forces coming together, how much trauma it creates to both bodies. When things like this happen, it's a freak thing, but even though it's a freak thing, you wish it wouldn't happen at all. But it's part and parcel of playing football because it's a high impact sport, a very violent sport, and you can't really put any rules in place for something like this happening. It was probably a clean hit. Didn't say anything a penalty on it, so it's probably with a clean hit. It's just a freak thing that happened to the person who was involved in the tackle. I'm sorry to hear it happen, especially at guys at this age, but at any age is a tragedy. So there's not too much more I can speak on from what I'm just said.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jerry. I mean, it's really tragic when something like this happens.
And you know, it's one of the unfortunate things that happens in this type of sport, because it is a high contact sport, and you know, something like this could happen on just a tackle. But I'm really curious to see what the cause of the of his death was. I mean, because it didn't happen on the field, but it could have happened on the field. We have no idea. So I'm kind of, you know, watching, trying to really see what, you know, what was the cause of it, because I suspect that there was some type of issue with him internally. Just speculating for him to just collapse like that. However, but this is the sport. You know, this is the sport that we all love.
And think about it, you guys. I'm reading an article on what Vic was saying, and supposedly the autopsy is supposed to be done sometime today. So I guess the results will be in the next few days or whatever. What happened?
Right.
Yeah. So hopefully, you know, prayers go out to that kid's family and stuff like that. But it's a sobering thing. And, you know, I know my boys are going to be kind of big. I want them to play football, but I want them to do something they love. And if it's not football, that's fine. But as a dad, it makes you want to say, okay, well, no matter how big or strong my kid is, you know, anything can happen to him. It's somebody being stupid or them being stupid or just an accident, just a real accident. So just want to put that out there.
This is a side note. When I was, and I was 18, 15, 13, 14 at the time, when I first got into high school, I wanted to play high school football. I was the second son of a family of eight. My older brother never played football. He was a musician, still a musician to this day. My mother, single mother, bringing up eight kids, did not want me to play football. Refused to let me play football. I had to settle for playing soccer, which I liked, in which I loved when I started playing it. All my other brothers after me played football, but me, because I was the first one that wanted to get into the sport, she wouldn't let me play football. So,
yeah, I chose to play football, you know, against, you know, my mother's wishes. She didn't want me to play football, but, you know, I really enjoyed it, and I was pretty good. Unfortunately, I chose to start playing a little late. I played my sophomore year and my junior year, and then when it came time for my senior year, I had to make a choice. If I wanted to play football or go to school half a day and get a job and make some money and get a car. So naturally, me being the person I am, I chose to go to work and get me a car, because I wanted, you know, I wanted money in my pocket. But as for my boys, I was the big supporter in them, or more so I pushed them into playing football so they could understand the good parts about it, you know, how you have to, you know, the strategy and the endurance, the whole being an athlete and overcoming. You know, and I think the oldest really picked that up. They also picked that up. He picked up, you know, a lot of the physical attributes. But as they got older, I have been against it, because I felt like no, I couldn't take it. I mean, I even just watching them out there playing, you know, I was one of those rowdy parents. I just couldn't take it. I really couldn't take it.
I understand.
Okay.
I'm getting to that point with my guys. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Just thought I'd bring that up. Right now, fellas, we call Fantasy Sports Apologists. We're talking a little fantasy football right now. Put your GM caps on, because right now, right about now, I want winners.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
That's right.
Number one. Number two, we are not a charity.
That's right.
We cannot give them the game.
Hell no.
That's number two. And number three is we execute from the very start of the game to the very end of the game. That did not happen. And I'm from the old school. I believe this. I would rather play with 10 people and just get penalized all the way until we got to do something else rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team.
Talk to them.
It is more about them than it is about the team. I cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it. I want winners. I want people that want to win.
I love it.
With that said, Jerry.
I absolutely love it.
Let's put our GM hats on. And who do we need to jettison from our team? Because I want winners. And right now, some players on somebody's fantasy football league team is all about them and not about the team. Jerry, then Mike, then me. Let's go down. As many people as you want. I'm not going to put a limit on it. Some players that you feel need to be either traded or is right for trading, or you can try to steal cheap to make your team better.
One guy who's been a lightning rod ever since the beginning of the season. He had a glimmer of hope last week. I would trade high on him. I would trade low on him. Let me put it that way. Let me put it this way. I would trade high on him because he had a good week. If you can get something for him, this is probably the week to get something for him. There's a tale of two thoughts there. I'm talking about Chris Johnson. He's got a very favorable schedule coming up, and if you trade for him, there's a possibility that he'll be able to perform. But on the other hand, he hasn't performed too well except for the last game in garbage time. So he's high risk, high reward. Another guy who would be like that would be Ryan Matthews, Mr. Glass. If you ever seen that movie with Bruce Willis and Samuel Jackson, Mr. Glass, and I've never been up too high on this guy. In fact, it looks like it's going to be a running back by committee. So you can probably grab him low from somebody. And this is going to be a shock, maybe not a shock to a lot of people. He hasn't been playing well, but things may get turned around. But you may be able to buy this guy low, and that's Victor, we talked about this guy before. Run DMC. He hasn't been playing up to his draft position, which is high in the first round. He's on a bye this week. This is probably the prime time for someone to buy low because he hasn't performed that well. He's on a bye, and someone's probably looking for a running back. You probably can get him.
You done?
Hello? Yeah, I'm done.
Oh, okay. All
I'm
right.
a running back guy, so I named three running backs.
All right, go, Mike.
Well, I don't have any, any upskill players that I could think of at the moment. But I will say this. Look for Matt Ryan and both of those two receivers for Atlanta, Julio Jones and Roddy White. Look for them to torch my Redskins this weekend.
Well, we didn't even got to that section yet.
No, I'm just saying. If you have those three players or you're about to go up against any one of those three players, you need to either offset them if you're going against them. You need to get them. You need to make sure they're starting if you have them. Because guys are going to put in some big points this weekend.
Here's what I'm gonna say about that. And I'm gonna shock the world, and I'm definitely gonna shock Jerry. Probably not really. Some players I feel as though you need to get off of your team and probably get high value for. Number one, Jerry's probably not going to like this. Julio Jones. The reason why I say Julio Jones is because of this. Teams have seen that he is the off-the-cap guy. He's the guy that blows the roof off the stadium. So if you double him, you can hope that your other cornerback can try to contain Roddy White.
Yeah.
Last three games, they haven't been able to contain Roddy White. So, but they're still doubling Julio. Julio's dealing with a hand injury. Last 3 weeks. And Julio supposedly had a hand injury, supposed to be back to normal, but that has nothing to do with the targets he's getting. Julio's got less and less targets recently. But if you can get him off your books and grab a quality running back or quarterback for the price of Julio, I would do it. Another person I would probably get off my books, Matthew Stafford. Stafford has gone through not such a good first quarter of the season. Megatron, last game against Tennessee is when he had his big game. And that was when they had to throw. With Michael LeShore in the backfield, they're probably not going to be throwing 50 times a game. They'll throw, but it won't be as many times as they have in the past. Also, now I'm a Redskins fan. I love my team. I would trade Alfred Morris while he's hot.
Yeah, you need to trade him.
Oh,
hell
no.
I'm telling you why. Can I tell you why?
Go ahead.
The reason why I would trade him
and a hand going
right
ride
now.
Him out.
Listen, can I finish?
Teams
the
that's
reason why I would trade
it.
Him
go ahead
is
and rock.
Because of this.
Yeah.
He's hot right now. You might have gotten him off of the waiver wire, and you might need more than just a running back. Granted, he is a great player for the Skins right now, and he's a very potent weapon for the team. He's fifth in the league in rushing right now. But if your fantasy team needs a boost in other areas, maximize his value. Get 2-for-1. That's what I was saying when it comes to letting him go. Not saying he's somebody you want to get rid of because they're underperforming, but make this team better by passing away or passing off one of your studs to get two quality players. Now, some people I would
just
plain get rid of. Some people I would just plain get rid of. Chris Johnson, of course. I would put him on there because I don't think he's going to perform. I hear Brady Quinn is going to probably start tomorrow. So, Matt Castle, you're on the chopping block for me. I like Ryan Williams over there in Arizona.
He has shoulder injury.
They're not giving that kid the ball. They're not giving that kid the ball. He only ran the ball 13 times in a very close game. Of course, he went out with a shoulder injury in the middle of the third quarter. But if Arizona feeds him, they could have a balanced attack.
This is the problem with Arizona. Arizona, I'm pretty sure you watched that game. It was on Thursday night.
Yeah.
It was the only game showcased. Yeah. Arizona, whether it was in pass coverage or run offense, was getting bull rushed. Getting manhandled by the St. Louis Rams defensive line. They were getting manhandled. Obviously, with Kevin Cobb getting 9 sacks, and he was getting rushed and hurried umpteen times. Ryan Williams had nowhere to run. So that offensive line for the Arizona Cardinals is not that good.
No. I agree.
And that's going to hurt, just like the Tennessee line. It's hurting Chris Johnson because it's not that good. It's going to hurt the running back. And quite naturally, if they don't protect better, it's going to hurt the quarterback. So that's the problem. Ryan Williams is a decent back, but he needs lanes to run through. If he doesn't have them, not even Adrian Peterson can run through some of the lanes that he didn't have. So
I agree with you on that, Jerry. But it's two things that I noticed. And being an offensive coordinator and seeing this, firsthand, I kind of diagnosed what went wrong. They are a pass-first team.
Been like that since Kurt Warner there. Been like that.
Yes, but the difference this time is that the offensive line gets beat up so much from pass protection, they have no strength to run block. They have no strength to make holes. Not to mention, they're very predictable when they're going to run the ball. They bring two tight ends in. They have a fullback in. The one time where they were going to do the screen, they got a sack because Cobb held the ball up to his head instead of just throwing it, and he let the three-man rush get him. So when you look at their issues there, you know, I'm surprised Roberts, the receiver, who I say go get if you can,
yes,
got more targets than Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, to go on the opposite side of what you're saying, there's a team that's one of the most running teams in the league that people know they're going to run the ball, and they still are able to run the ball. And I'm talking about my team, the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
They know that they the majority of what they do is run the ball, and they still can't stop them. So I understand what you're saying, Vic. I understand that they bring in sets, certain sets, and telegraph what they're going to do, whether run it or pass. But the Houston Texans do the same thing. They bring in a set, you know they're going to run the ball. You know they're going to. He even said this past week, Gary Kubiak said he's thinking that Arian Foster is going to get 400 touches, touching the ball 400 times, which is excessive for a running back. So they're going to be running the ball a lot. And you got to have the mindset. The team has the mindset. This is what we're going to do. Stop us. If you can stop us, then we'll try to do. We'll go to the pass. But until you can stop the run, this is our MO. This is what we're going to do.
I understand that, and that's my point, that Arizona, they won't do that, though. They won't come out and run five straight run plays. I mean, I understand you have Larry Fitzgerald. I understand you have a good – and I love their tight end, by the way, Hauser.
Yes, Hauser.
That's another guy I will pick up. Hauser is a guy I will add to my team because – kids were bouncing off of him.
He would
catch the ball, it would bounce off of him, and he'd keep going.
Yeah, he's got to be a rock to hit. I mean, you're right. They were absolutely bouncing off of him like they were a piece of foam.
Pinball.
Pinball. I couldn't believe it. I was watching the same thing, saying, "Wow, this guy's a beast."
Yeah. So there are a few people there that I would like to get, and also I would. Pick up any. NFC West defense.
You trying to take away all my stuff for next week? I mean, for tomorrow.
Hey guy.
Okay. That's how we roll now. See this McCall?
No, you see this
McCall? That's how we roll.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start calling you One Way Vic. That's okay.
Oh, whatever. No. Tomorrow I'm not going to be on the show because church service, they have a new service at 8 o'clock now, so I'm going to be going there.
Is that right?
No, I'm not going to be on the show tomorrow.
Well, let me put it this way. Now, and I'm going to put this in there. This is a little political thing here.
Oh, gosh.
Me and Mac were talking yesterday, okay? And he happened to ask me. I wish somebody had called. I was hoping one of you guys called in because he wanted to talk about the presidential debate.
Jerry, I knew he wanted to talk about that.
Yes,
oh,
I figured it was coming up, but I told him I had DVR'd it on Wednesday. Haven't had a chance to watch it. I was going to watch it this morning, didn't get a chance to watch it. I'm going to get up early specifically to watch it tomorrow morning because I told him either on this show or next on my master plan – I was going to address the presidential debate, and he said he was going to call in either today or tomorrow.
Man.
Huh?
He feels his boy won, so of course he's going to want to talk about it. He was quiet when Romney's all down in the polls and da da da. But
I understand that. I understand that. So I'm going to watch it tomorrow. I mean, tomorrow morning, and the first part of my show is going to address the presidential debate. So That right. I just wanted to put that out there for now. I was hoping to bring it up, but I wasn't going to bring it up today because I hadn't watched it, so I can't give an informed opinion
so
on
I
it.
So I can't even say nothing because I messed
not
it up.
Not until tomorrow, Michael. Not until tomorrow. All right, let's get back to football. because I got 25 minutes left alive here, and I want to really get into some of these games and things of that nature. So,
okay.
But those are some people and some situations that we here on Fantasy Sports Politics feel you need to address if you can. Either get rid of or get these players. Some you can get cheaper. Some you're going to have to get a little expensive. But you can do it. You can do it. Let's get into the NFL Sunday schedule. Since my cousin brought it up, I want to start there. I love my Skins. It's one of the most it's probably going to be, I believe, the featured game on Fox this week. But ATL comes to D.C. Now, I'm going to give my thoughts on it, and, of course, we're going to go Mike and Jerry. We're going to do this for the rest of the show. I agree with Michael that our secondary is extremely bad, but I'm not sure what to do. Can you guys take it from me? I got to take one call.
Our secondary is pretty bad. It is pretty bad. I really don't know how this game is going to end up. Because I don't know if the high power octane offense is going to show up or not. That's the only thing. But I can say this: it's there. You know what I mean? It's there. You know what I mean, Jerry? It's there.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We haven't even had that there for at least 20 years. 20 years.
Well, so, from what I understand, I do believe that the your Washington Redskins have the highest scoring offense in the league, if I'm not mistaken.
I could be,
I'm right. So
they are the highest scoring.
Yeah, so from Atlanta is coming to Washington. Fireworks are going to be abound in FedEx Field. So I'm really looking forward to watching this because we got two offenses. One's a no huddle and the other one's got a electrifying quarterback that is running the offense, the highest scoring offense. So fireworks is going to happen. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well,
so.
It's like this. The Redskins are very strong versus the run. So Michael Turner will not get over 100 yards like he did against Carolina. And someone pointed something out to me yesterday. The Redskins are going to beat Atlanta. And I was like, I don't know about that, dude, because our secondary sucks. He was like, if Cam Newton and the little bit of offense they had could do that to Atlanta, in Atlanta, the Redskins can do a lot more with their high-powered offense. It's going to be a scoring battle because, as we all said, the Washington Redskins secondary is very suspect, and D'Angelo Hall last week said he was very upset at people picking on their secondary. Well, we have a right to. Brandon Merriweather can't finish or start the game in Tampa because he runs into Aldrick Robinson.
What the hell happened there, man? I saw that. I'm saying, what the heck is that?
I don't know. Just people not paying attention. But regardless, you know, we haven't had our starting secondary all year. Our safeties. And we've been dealing with this, and teams have exposed this. Matt Ryan is the wrong person to try to have the wrong secondary, the wrong coverage out there.
Well, in my opinion, and there's another thing I want to say on this. Just like New Orleans, Atlanta does the same thing. When they go on the road, they don't score as much, and their offense, for the most part, isn't as efficient enough as they are in their own home stadium, in the dome. So they're playing outside, they're playing on grass, and they're playing against, even though it's a defense, they're playing against a high-powered offense. So
I understand that you're apprehensive about someone telling you that the Washington Redskins can win. I think they have a real strong chance of winning because the fact is Atlanta is very shaky on the road, extremely shaky on the road. So
I agree. I mean, I think the Skins have a good shot. I don't think they'll win. I think it'll be a shootout. Unfortunately, the Skins come from the short end. Only because I think the Skins secondary is just that bad. So
I won't even pick a team here. But I will say this. No, seriously.
Last week you picked Tampa and we won. So, you know. I said last week you picked Tampa and we won. So
and they damn near came back and pulled it out, sir. But
thanks to our secondary.
I'm gonna say this. Whichever team scores first, that's the team that's gonna win.
Okay.
That is the team that's going to win.
And there's another thing here too that Washington. This is their second game at home. They played three road games and one home game, and they threw in a clunker at home the last time. Hopefully, the home crowd for the second time is going to be a little better than the first time when they had their home opener. So, hopefully.
It wasn't the crowd's fault.
No, I'm not saying. I'm just saying that being at home, hopefully they'll play better at home this time than they did the last time. Because they played sorry the last time. I mean, they played a halfway competitive game, but they didn't play Washington Redskins football like they were playing the three games they had on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Let's move on to Cincinnati, where Miami comes to visit. Miami looks to rebound off of their very poor performance of last week. Cincinnati looks to capitalize after showing a good game versus Jacksonville last week. I say Cincinnati wins this game at home. But I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think. Everybody's on Andy Dalton's coattails. He was one of the most picked up players in all of fantasy, no matter which site you're on.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think AJ Green's going to have a good game, but I have Cincinnati winning the game.
I think Cincinnati's gonna put the smack down on Miami. They're gonna smack them down. I do not like Miami. I really don't. I don't like the organization. I do not. Mm-mm.
Well, depends on Ryan Tannehill plays. It depends on how the Dolphins play. Cincinnati's got some holes, especially on defense. And Miami, I think week to week, the quarterback and the wide receivers, the nondescript, who are these guys wide receivers that they have, are getting on a better communication with each other. I think Miami's going to be able to run the ball more, a lot better than Cincinnati's going to run the ball against Miami because Miami's got a better run defense than Cincinnati does. They're playing home. I think you're right, Vic. I think this is going to be a close game. I think you're right again. I think Cincinnati pulls it out.
All right. Green Bay, Indianapolis. Packers face the Colts. Will this be a shootout or will it be one-sided? Prediction. Andrew Luck gets sacked three times by Clay Matthews. I think Green Bay finds its stride and totally obliterates Indy. I know Indy's coming off of a bye week, and Andrew Luck has had time to study and dissect and all that other good stuff. But I think Green Bay is looking to get their swag back. And the best way to do that, beat up on the Colts. In this game, you know that Jennings is not playing. What does that mean? James Jones should have a good game. Jordy Nelson finally got in the end zone. But will it be a repetitive thing? I hope so for one of my leagues. But it also means that Cedric Benson, for the past 2 weeks, has run the ball pretty good. They should run the ball.
I play such defensive in this game. Mike.
SmackDown City, you know, this is a double SmackDown. This is the second SmackDown I'm calling for on this one. I don't see how Indianapolis is going to get past no more than 10 points in this game.
Mm.
I feel like Green Bay will come out, and they'll come out firing, and they'll come out on top, and they'll stay on top. Something like 24-10.
Mm. Do you smell it? I can smell it. I smell it. It's coming. I don't know what it is. Oh, I know what it is. I smell shootout in this game. That's what I smell. Andrew Luck's going to come out throwing. Donald Brown's not going to be able to run, or either Vic Ballard, whoever's going to be the running back, not going to be able to run too well on the Green Bay Packers. He's going to have to throw the ball, and he's been doing pretty well throwing the football to T.J. Hilton, T.Y. Hilton, whatever his name is, Donnie Avery, and especially Reggie Wayne, and Kobe Fleener. So he's going to be throwing the ball a lot in this game. Quite naturally, Green Bay is going to be doing the same thing. They're going to be running the ball, but I think their M.O. is to throw the ball to rack up them points quick. So I smell shootout in this game. I like Green Bay. I don't think Indianapolis has enough firepower. I'm not going to even talk about any players on any of these games because I'm reserving all that for tomorrow.
All right, well, let's keep it moving. Master plan. Baltimore goes to KC. Well, again, where I say Brady Quinn is looking to get the start over Matt Castle.
Ain't happening.
Okay. Baltimore comes in fresh after playing last Thursday. Not this Thursday, but last Thursday.
Well rested.
And KC's, they're trying to find something. Jamaal Charles has found his step. Sean Drone comes in and spells him, but there's another running back there that can do a little damage as well. I reserve that right since, you know, you're going to keep your players to tomorrow. I'm keeping my players.
I'm going to kick your ass this weekend. Whatever.
Anyway, let's keep it moving.
25 on next on this game. Because we're facing each other in another league, you know.
I got to look at that one.
No.
I got to see what league we're playing in.
We're playing in the league that with Duke. His league.
Oh, yeah. Guys with big shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to tie in that game. So, yeah. It says we're supposed to tie.
Well, whatever. I mean, you got any balls on you or what?
Hey, I'm saying this. You weren't talking. All you got is diarrhea of the mouth right now. That's all you got.
Like I said, 25 is in your face. What you going to do with it?
Okay, I'm going to say this slowly, or I'm going to have to say it as if I am deaf. I said yes.
No problem. It's on.
Jeez, Mo. Christmas, you're doing a box of rocks.
And you do know my PayPal address, so don't worry about it.
Oh, well, you know mine, too, so I ain't worried about that. I mean, of course, you didn't put the full deposit in. I'm going to bring that up every time. Every time. You know I am.
Yeah, you
go to the game, Baltimore, Kansas City. And no offense to anybody that's slow or mentally handicapped like Jerry.
Well, hey, you offended the people. I didn't.
That's what I said. I want to apologize. But go ahead. Come on. Baltimore, Kansas City.
Who first?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going with Baltimore. I'm going with Baltimore on this one.
Kansas City's right. Got the most turnovers, 15 of anybody in the league. Even though it's playing in Kansas City, I still like Baltimore.
All right. Let's keep it moving. Cleveland is the city where they come from. So, Ryan. They go to New York. Take on the Giants. Now, the last couple weeks, I picked Cleveland, the upset teams. And, you know, I want to say this. It's not Brandon Whedon's fault. Greg Little has been dropping the ball. They're receivers.
have dropped the ball like crazy. They actually had a chance to beat Baltimore. They had a really big chance to beat Baltimore. Trimmerson looked pretty well against Baltimore. I think he'll do pretty well against against their defense. Here's the problem, though. The Giants' weakness is also the Browns' weakness. Their secondary is weak, but their receivers can't catch. So I'm going to have to give it to New York based on that. If Brandon Weeden can find somebody or a group of players that would actually catch the ball, I would actually pick Cleveland in this. But I'm not. I'm going to pick the Giants with all their hurt players. Mike.
I'm going with the Giants in this game. Giants should take this game pretty slightly convincing, with a slight convince, just slight. It won't be dominant, but it'll be with a slight convince.
Okay.
Just for those Brandon Weeden haters and me included, out of the first 4 weeks, Brandon Weeden has thrown 200-300-yard games, okay? I've been hot picking up players. If you've been listening to my program, Master Plan, 10 a.m. on Sunday, I've been hot on picking up people that other so-called experts haven't thought about and have been, I wouldn't say go off, but have very good days. Well, I have some this week. So tune in because you'll be surprised on who I'm going to tell you to pick up and use. I do like the Giants in this game.
All right. I'm gonna need time to promo.
I have to set up my own program too. You're not gonna do it for me. You're one way.
No, come on, dude. You're gonna be that way for real. Okay. Let's go to Philly and Pittsburgh, the fight for the Keystone State. The Steelers come back off a bye week with Rashad Mendenhall and Troy Polamalu and James Harrison. My question here for you, fellas, does Philly stand a chance? I'm picking Pittsburgh.
Where are they playing?
In Pittsburgh.
They're playing in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh. Oof. Ah, that is
nasty. And I also
want to
quote, this is the game that Michael Vick gets injured.
The game that he gets injured is? I ain't going with that. This is going to be a real close game. It's going to be an in-your-face kind of, swing back and forth type of thing. It won't be a shootout. But, I'm going to go with the Eagles.
That's a surprise.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Eagles.
Off the bye, picking up all the players that have been hurt up until this point, especially there's two key defensive players. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for Michael Vick and in Philadelphia, and Philadelphia hasn't been playing that well. I would have to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers at home off a bye.
Agreed. Ladies and gentlemen, we have 6.5 minutes or so left of live air. What I want to say is this. This is Fantasy Sports and Politics. Every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we are here live and direct. Next week, it will be the Jerry Taylor Show because I have to work. And I know he's happy about that.
Oh, that's going to be a good show.
Yeah, sure. Damn right.
Silence.
You know that.
Silence. On Sundays, you've got the Master Plan with ATM Money Taylor at 10 a.m. streaming in your ear about something. I usually go on and co-host. Won't be able to do it this week. I know you tune in for me, not him. But 10 a.m., he's going to give you some great starts and sits and some great advice. I kid Jerry all the time, but he gives great advice. Then on Tuesday, Kim makes her return to Compassion to Kings. He's going to talk to you guys about some great stuff. Then on Thursday, you've got the FSP Crew Show. Jerry, Jeff, and Black, you never know what's going to come on out of that other than prepping for Thursday night's football game.
Right.
They're going to do a lot more things on that show as well. Then on Fridays, Mac
a.k.a. Uncle Ruckus Williams, comes on the air with no chaser. I got Lincoln Boondocks for that one.
Calling him Uncle Ruckus is giving him a compliment.
Oh, man, you guys are rough.
I love Mac, though. I love him. Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor with no chaser. You want to talk politics all of a sudden. I wonder why. But it is what it is. That is your no-holds-barred show. Anything goes. It's our one-rated R/X show that I don't stop the cursing or anything like that. But politics looks like it's going to be on the tap.
Yes.
You should call that show next Friday. You should name it just 7.8. Just 7.8. And I guarantee you he won't say nothing.
7.8?
Yep, 7.8.
Oh, okay. 7.8 unemployment rate.
Oh, car went down. Yeah. I got it. Oh, no, you know he's got something for that, too. But anyway.
A conspiracy theory.
That's no chaser with Mac Williams. I love that dude. I love him because he gives you so much to talk about. Anyway, we're going to continue on with our picks, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go to overtime very briefly. So stick and stay with us. This is FSP. That will be me, Fantasy Sports and Politics, along with my boy ATM Jerry Taylor and my cuz Mike, who also has his own show, Grown Soul and Real, talking on Blog Talk Radio's 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. And Mike, tell them real quickly about what your show is going to be about this week.
Well, this week we're expanding. We're doing a new show on Tuesday evening as well. It's called Speak On That, hosted by a young lady that was on here a couple of weeks ago, Miss Drea. She is very, very outspoken, very, very controversial. I would love to get her and Mac in a room or on a line and just be going at it.
Well, have her call in on Friday. Have her call in Friday.
We're not going to Mac's home turf no more, Slim. We're a little tired of that. We didn't took it to him on his turf many a times.
Okay.
He needs to, he need to enter the Spartacus ring. Either one of them, the Tuesday night or the Wednesday night. Because that's where the Spartacus, the jousting really happens.
All right. Well, that's what's happening with my cousin and his shows. And Matt, the gauntlet's been thrown down, bruh. Woo-wee! Let's get it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go into overtime a little bit. We're going to finish up these games. We're going to start our Sunday evening or afternoon games. Seattle at Carolina. This is an interesting game to me because Seattle, I think they're shedding that moniker of playing really bad on the road. I think St. Louis's defense caused Russell Wilson to have those three interceptions, and it wasn't the fact that they played poorly. I think the defensive scheme just was too much for Russell Wilson to deal with. Matt Flynn might be somebody you might want to think about picking up in the next couple of weeks. Not sure if I like it or not. But
Gee, thanks, Vic. I mean, I really thank you. I really thank you. All that you're
How did
information
I know that's
that
what you want to say? How did I know? I didn't know. I did not know you to send me a briefing of your notes.
It would have made a difference. But go ahead. Foul the evilness is coming out of your mouth. That's okay.
I still love you, Jay. All right, so I'll pick Carolina in the game. Go, Mike.
I'm taking Carolina in this game. Of course, it's in Carolina. You got Cam Newton. I think it would be a big mistake if Seattle takes Russell out and puts Flynn in.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we got about a minute left of live here before I let Jerry get on. So, again, we're going to overtime. If you're listening to us on Fantasy Sports Channel, come back in about 20 minutes. We'll have our archives ready for you to listen to the rest of these great picks and analysis. Trust me, we're going to get into it. I just know we are. JT.
I like Carolina.
You like Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was quick. That was a black answer.
Yep.
Not black as in black people, but, you know what I'm saying.
I don't know what you're saying because you're surprising me. You're surprising me and Macau. I don't know what color side of the color you're on now. I'm trying to figure that out.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't worry about those two. Don't worry about those two.
The left coast has got you. I don't know. It must be the air over there.
Whatever, guys. Next game on the docket. Bye-bye those that are listening to us live. Chi-Town go to Jacksonville. Now, Jacksonville plays tough at home. Chicago looked pretty good. I mean, pretty daggone good versus the Cowboys, but that was probably Romo and Bryant's fault for that. I'm actually going to trade Dez Bryant if I can. But
in what league?
Yahoo. But
really? What do you want for him?
I'd take a decent running back.
You ain't getting that. You know that.
Well, then, there you go.
Okay.
Chi-Town Heat, in honor of Michael Wilbon, defeat Jacksonville in Jacksonville. Go, Cuz.
You said Jacksonville and Chi-Town?
Chi-Town and Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
Yeah, I'm going with the boys from the Chi. All
right.
Schizophrenic Jay Cutler. I'm going with Jacksonville.
Schizophrenic.
Who are you going with, Jacksonville?
Yes, I am. Okay. Yes, I am.
All right. Tennessee and Minnesota. Now, this is a team that's going to go with Matthew Hasselbeck to play the game. I look for Chris Johnson to have a good ball running room. The reason why is because teams are not worried, or we're not worried about Jake Locker, and they still will rush Hasselbeck. But Kenny Britt, somebody that's not on my radar anymore, I really don't like Tennessee at all in this game or for the rest of the season. Minnesota looks to stay on top of the NFC North with AP running, and Jerome Simpson catching, and Randolph, and Rudolph, and all those other cats up there in Minnesota. I think Minnesota ends their winning streak. I'm picking Minnesota. Go ahead, Mike.
Where they playing?
Minnesota.
Oh, no brainer. Minnesota's going to take this. Minnesota's getting hot. Ponder is stepping up a little bit more. Everything's looking a little crisp out there in Minnesota. I expect Minnesota to take that. Tennessee is soft.
I totally concur, Minnesota.
All right. Denver goes to New England, Manning versus Brady, the 15th time that these two quarterbacks will see each other consecutive season. It's 12 or 15, one or two. Conspiracy? I think so. All right. Bolden and Ridley went off last week versus Buffalo. I don't think it's going to happen like that this week against New England. Hernandez might be back. So what does that mean for Wes Welker? I'll let Jerry tell you tomorrow.
Thank you.
They're going to New England. It's a tough game to call, in my opinion. Really tough. Buffalo went up on those guys and almost won that game. Based on that, I'm going to have to go with Denver and Demaryius Thomas exposing that secondary. Even though Eric Decker is getting more targets now, like Jerry and I talked about preseason.
Yep.
Jerry brought it up and I concurred. So look for that duel to happen a little more. Denver. Go ahead, Mike.
I suspect this game is going to be a shootout. With New England coming out on top, I think Manning has not just yet got, you know, the kinks out on that offense, and I don't suspect it's gonna magically turn around in this game. So I'm definitely going with New England.
This game is going to be shaky for Denver. leading up to the bye, which is in 2 weeks. For Denver to knock out the kinks. After the bye, I think they're going to be really taking off, but up until then, they're flying by the seat of their pants.
Right.
He's trying to learn the players. The players are trying to learn him. I'm talking about Peyton Manning. I think New England's going to take advantage of that, even though Denver's pass defense is better than New England's. Going to New England's on a mission. I think they're not going to sleep on any more teams like they were doing in the early part of the year. That's why they're 2-2.
I think New England handles their business.
All right. I'm the only one picking Denver. Buffalo at San Fran. It's going to be a good game, actually, even though we don't know exactly the situation with the receivers out there and the running backs. Both running backs are healthy enough to play, but fantasy-wise, I don't know. I don't know. Last week, Jackson had 13 rushes, and Spiller had 8. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens in that situation. But I think in San Fran, it'd be dominant defensively and win this game.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think San Fran takes and punches Buffalo in the mouth in this game. It's going to be a low-scoring game, but look for San Francisco to really shove it down Buffalo's throat.
If you could spell the word dominant, I think that's what San Francisco is going to be against Buffalo. I don't think this is going to be close. San Francisco easy.
All right. Last game of the
Sunday.
Monday night.
Okay.
San Diego goes to New Orleans.
Here we go.
Where the head honcho will be in the house, won't be able to coach. But he's there to see Drew Brees break Danny Unitas' record. Will it happen? Yes. Will San Diego win? No. I have New Orleans getting off the snide, winning their first game of the season, and welcoming Joe Vitt in next week.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I can't keep kicking a dead horse. However, New Orleans is about as close to a dead horse as it could be, as it could ever, as a team could ever be. I think they're gonna rise up on this one. If they do not rise up on this one, 2-14. Yeah, I said.
I made a prediction. What season started? Everybody was like, "What am I smoking?" I said that New Orleans was gonna be the last place team in this division this year. They weren't gonna be in the playoffs, and they were gonna start off very badly. I said that. Look it up. Listen to it. That's what I said, and I'm sticking to it. I still think Atlanta, Tampa, and then Carolina, and then New Orleans. That's where I got it.
I got a question for you. I've asked this question to you before. Do you have bruises on your back for patting yourself on it? Because, okay.
I got as many bruises as you do. And when you open up the show, I told you had a whole bunch of people. I was wrong about Chris Johnson, but I told you that you had some stuff going last week, and I was right.
You're absolutely right.
And I didn't even play a song. Thank you for letting me be my. Yeah, you opened up with that guy. Come on now. Let me talk about the music. My back.
Anyway, let's get past that, young man, and talk about this game. San Diego, first game, played against Oakland. Second game, played against Tennessee. Third game, played against Atlanta. Fourth game, played against Kansas City. What's San Diego's record against a good team? 0-1. Against a bad team, 3-0. Despite their record, those three teams that San Diego has won have very bad offenses. New Orleans doesn't have a very bad offense, and they're going in the house of New Orleans with their coach in attendance for the first time this season, and probably the only time. They're going to absolutely destroy San Diego in this game. It may be a shootout, but the shootout is going to be on New Orleans' side. They're going to prove a point and show their coach for the one time he's going to be in the stadium what they're all about.
All right. And with the running back situation in San Diego, I want to add this. You don't know. Jackie Battle's supposed to start. Ryan Lansky's supposed to come in. It's too shaky. It's too shaky. But North Turner said last week they're going to just limit some of Matthews' touches. That's another guy, like Jerry said, you might want to start to get rid of. Just saying, you don't want to cheat. We'll get rid of him. High end. You never know. Last game of the week. And every time I say this, the opposite team wins. But I'm going to say it anyway because I think it's not going to happen. Do we need to even go through this game? Houston at the Jets.
Wow. Wow.
Houston at the Jets?
At the Jets.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to let Jerry go before me because I got
well, you
it.
You know
what
Jerry's going to say.
Well, let me tell you something.
Hold on. I know what team he's going to pick, but I would just like to hear his stellar analysis.
No Darrell Revis. No Santonio Holmes. Who the hell is that in the wide receiver position with the tallest wide receiver not being able to get out on the field and not a quarterback not being able to throw a pass 2 yards in front of him to hit the wide receiver. He is the most inaccurate passer. He's thrown, overthrown, not underthrown. He's overthrown the most of any NFL quarterback, if I'm not mistaken, in history. I'm talking about Mark Sanchez. And the talk is like Tim Tebow is the savior of saving the Jets offense. That ain't happening, people. Tim Tebow is not the savior. I'm saying it again, and I'll say it. I said it last night. I said it on Thursday, and I'll say it again. If you don't like Mark Sanchez, bench him. If you think about putting Tim Tebow in, don't do it because the simple fact is that means you're scrapping the offense that you started with for the last 3 years, and you got to put a whole new offense in for Tim Tebow. The simple solution, if you want to keep the same offense that you haven't and you want to get rid of the quarterback, bring in the third-string quarterback, Greg McElroy. You can still run the same offense with a different quarterback, get a different look. Maybe you'll have success. Otherwise, this team sucks. Houston's going to win this by at least two touchdowns, and there's no way about it.
Wow, he's put down his former team that quickly. Woo. But I got to agree with him. Matter of fact, I'm going through a lot of my fantasy teams right now where I have Ben Roethlisberger starting. I'm going to start Matt Schaub because Antonio Cromartie is the football playing best corner in football, of course, after his counterpart went down. Kyle Wilson, who is their number three corner, is now their number two. They moved a running back over to play cornerback. I think Matt Schaub is going to have a field day and destroy that secondary. I really think he is. So I'm making that switch right now in a lot of my leagues. I implore you guys to do the same thing if you have Matt Schaub. Mike?
I just love that analysis. Notice there was no analysis of there was no analysis. I expected a full rounded analysis, but I'm not upset, about it because I'm definitely going Houston. I think the this offense, which is like the Redskins offense, almost exactly like the Redskins offense, except for we have a more scrambling type of quarterback. But anyway,
well, you do. I gotta admit that you do. Absolutely, you do.
But Houston, I like Houston too. I like the way they play. They come to play every game, and they are the best in that division, definitely, but hands down by far. I love the running game. The young man, what is it, Arian Foster, right?
That's correct.
That young dude is very, 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 very impressive, not only on the field but off the field. Another thing that doesn't get talked about Houston is they're deep at the quarterback position. They're deep.
Yep. Yes.
You know, if something happens to Schaub, you know, if his other ear falls off, they have a young man in there that took him to the playoffs last year. Literally took him to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you can't say enough about that Miami Hurricane that's over there. I like this team. I like this team. And the reason why I like this team so much, and Jerry, I have to be brutally honest with you as to why I like this team, and it's not because of the offense, you know what I mean, and not just so much as how they run the organization, but you know, I'm a very selfish man, you know what I mean, and I have to say that the reason I really love this team or like this team is because they are the best team in the state of Texas. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Had to put that in there. Huh? Okay.
I've been saying that since the beginning of the season, but Black and other Dallas Cowboy fans didn't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm. And both of the quarterbacks that play in Houston are better than any of the quarterbacks in that other town in Texas that play professional football.
Oof.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of our program. Those are all the games. I was giving you some analysis, made some picks, some starts and sits. Check out tomorrow, Master Plan, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. JT, 8 p.m. Monday, is going to talk about starts and sits, and he's going to pat himself on the back to bring some ice and some rubbing stuff for him.
I've been picking players. If you've been using the ones I've been picking, they've been performing quite well. So,
yes, they have, and that's evident of the archives. Also, ladies and gentlemen, again, next Saturday, FSP will not be here, but JT, ATM Money will be.
Hand of applause. Hand of applause.
You know what?
Wonderful show. Wonderful show.
Both of them.
Should be spectacular.
Let me do it again.
You can press all the buttons you like. You know, you can talk it. You know, you can.
You got muted. You got muted.
He
said I can press whatever buttons I want.
You can press whatever buttons you want. But the fact of the matter remains is that the substance. It's what counts.
Whatever. My substance counts very well. Anyway, see, I want to go for votes. I go for votes now. I'm that petty. All right. Anyway, on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, my cousin has two programs. Check them out. Grown Soul Real Talk. All you got to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/GSRT and look them up. Produced by whatever. So you got that there. Then on Tuesday on our program, you have Kim Fun with Passion Bikini at 4 o'clock Eastern, and 30-minute program. Great stuff. Thursdays, you've got FSP Crew Show with Black, Jerry, and Jeff. Breaking down the upcoming NFL game as well as some other things going on in the sports. I'm not sure if they're going to do something for Thanksgiving or not. I don't think so, but they may. Not sure. But every Thursday, they're there. Fridays, Matt and Jerry with No Chaser. Can't wait to talk politics with them. Just can't wait to do it. then on Saturdays, this show again. You got to love what we do because we do it for you, and we always do what we got to do. All right? Mike, parting shot.
Parting shot? Dang, I took so many. I think my...
Yeah, I know.
I know my barrel is just empty right about now. But I definitely would like to... I definitely would like to say this, that Barack Obama... currently resides in Washington, D.C. He is the champ, 7.8. And anyone that has anything against that can see me either on Tuesday night or Wednesday night. It is a Spartacus ring. Come in and say what you like. But don't think that you won't get shot up.
Wow, they got guns in the Coliseum. Didn't know that.
Calling it out.
JT.
All right, tune in tomorrow, 10 a.m., like Vic's been saying over several times. But that's okay because I want him to do that. No chaser. We're talking a little bit on politics to start the show off. And then we're going to go into fantasy again. Starts and sit-ins, and I'm going to give you some players that you may not have thought of before that you can plug in and play. For those bye weeks that you need a player to put in, I'm going to try to help you win your week.
All right. And for me, it's Mr. FSP signing off, saying peace, love, and hair grease. JT.
From Macau. Kermit the Frog and myself.
Okay. I got you, old guy. Now do it right, cause you itch for one.
Anyway,
right.
from Mikel, myself, and Vic, you've been listening to.
Better had.
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.